Turn your Bible to Job chapter 2. We will finish Job chapter 2. By the way, ever since we've been studying the book of Job, there's been a lot of incident and illness. To the point it was quite overwhelming. There was a heathen named Jerry Hamby. He said, he's our elder, and he said he's going to put up the petition drive that we should stop. I should stop teaching Book of Job. So I said, sure, you talk to God and tell him to take out the Book of Job out of 66 books, then I'll be more than happy to stop teaching it. So there, Jerry. The 16th century, the British poet John Donne, one of his quotes is, "No man is an island." It's a rather famous quote and well known. And that even the toughest guy in the world needs someone and somebody who cares about him in the times of trouble, especially when that difficulty comes down to his life and comes down to pike. If you have been in the church for some time, you've heard a term called Job's comforters. It is a familiar phrase for the describing people who helped only, whose help only make the matter worse. And these three friends of Job's are the one who did that. But they you have to admit that they have some admirable qualities in spite of the things they handle themselves. After the 7 days of silence and 7 days of night. This morning, I believe that the Lord wants us to learn how to be a true friend. How to be a true friend to those who experience difficult times. In the times of loss, times of suffering, times of trial. Remember from last week's study, being a fat Christian? What does a fat stand for? Fat is F stand for faithful, A stand for available, T stand for teachable. Exactly. You guys already forgot? Come on. All right. Put that thing in your heart. And we will stop here and pray. Father, tomorrow being a memorial day, we think of our fallen soldiers. We think about their families. Some of them lost their loved ones last week or even yesterday. Hopefully not today. Or some lost decades ago. Still ringing in their heart, still putting them through a difficult time. Still bring that the memory. Father, we are asking you to surround them with your loving arms and comfort them. Speak to them such a way they may turn their heart to you. Father, as we study this portion of the scripture, Father, you willing, help us to learn how to be friend, that we may know what is the right way to do? Become a friend. Not just any friend, true friend to one another. As Jesus is our friend. Father, we pray that you speak the word of wisdom and an obedient heart that we may have. And Father, we pray for the President Obama. Seems like each day, as a Christian, we're facing more and more difficulties. Father, turn his heart to you, that he may become a truly born-again Christian. And we're also lifting up this election. We don't know how it's going to turn out, Father, but you know what to do. You know what's going on. We're asking for your will be done. Your name will be lifted up. And we pray for our soldiers, those who are in harm's way, especially the pararescue unit in Afghanistan, the one we've been praying for. And we also pray for the firefighters and the law enforcement personnel, and especially the one who attends our service. And we think of the our assistant pastor Merrill Simon, who goes out to the wildfire fighting often. We're asking you to watch over him and his crew. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one come from his own place, Eliphaz, Temanite, and Bildad, Shuhite, he's a very short guy, he's about the height of a shoe, and Zophar, Manethite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. No doubt that the news about Job's distress has been spreading out through Facebook and Twitter around that community. And the three Job's friends came together and heard about his predicament, and they choose to come to him. We don't know what they did for a living, but they dropped everything. They came to him. When your loved one is going through the hard time, if it's all possible, I say this with some room in my mind, because sometimes you cannot be there. If it's all possible, be there. Your presence will make all the difference in the world. Keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 36. All right, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Get this, guys. Get this sentence. "Stay here and watch with me." And he said that he left them. And when he came back, they were snoozing. And he woke them up. "Come on, stay awake. Watch with me." And he went back and came back. Guess what they're doing? Again, something what you and I would do, right? Think about it, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Almighty God, wanted to have his friend near while he was going through this sorrowful time. Agonizing prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't ask for a sermon. How are you going to preach a sermon to the Son of God? And he didn't want the explanation. He knew everything. And he didn't want somebody to come in and step in and fix something. He can do all things, right? He didn't need any of that. In his humanity, in his sorrowful mind, sorrowful heart, he wants somebody, some friend, to be there with him and encourage him, just simply being there. But they slept through the night. That reminds me, long ago, while my wife was laboring with our daughter Michelle for 12 hours throughout the night. And I was so tired, and I was kept on falling asleep. She got so mad at me, she picked up the bedpan and whacked me upside the head. No, she didn't. She was too nice for that kind of thing. Probably I deserved it if she did it. When someone is hurting, listen, when someone is hurting, you just need to go to them. And one of the best things for you to say is, "I don't know what to say." Then, get this, guys, take your own advice. Say nothing. Just be there. If you must say something, keep it simple. For example, let them know by saying, "I love you. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you." You know, as a pastor, as a sheriff department chaplain, sometimes I walk right into the middle of the human suffering. When I get that call, and someone's child just got killed or died because of illness, or someone has found out that they have a cancer, it's very hard to deal with that many times. And even the pastors don't know what to say. And most of the time, my word doesn't mean a whole lot. and it doesn't change anything. But I found that simply showing up and showing my love, showing the readiness to listen, and they are encouraged. And it comforts the grieving ones. Move down to the verse 12, please. Let's see what these people did, these three guys. When they were raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore their robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him. Get this, guys. They sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job's three friends cried. And someone would say, well, that's not good. Somebody have to be strong. You cannot cry. It will make the matter worse. No, it wouldn't. It would not. The person who is going through that difficulty will realize that you are suffering for them as well. They will be encouraged. And even the God says, okay, remember our memory verse? Go to Romans, please. Romans 12:15. Let's read out loud together. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It does not say that don't weep with those who weep. It said weep with those who weep. When we are suffering, we don't need a blame, shame, or lame answer, or even a false label. Instead, we need a true friend. We seek out listening ears and open hearts. We desire comfort and companionship. In order to mend our hurting spirit, need healing dose of compassion and encouragement. Do you agree with that? Listen, most of us are not hard of hearing, but most of us are hard of listening. Let me repeat one more time. Most of us are not hard of hearing, but most of us are hard of listening. Are you listening to me? Okay, that's good. Why did I think somebody would say that? We tend to forget that God has a reason to give each of us two ears and one mouth. Remember these two things? This is not just to collect the bugs. So we can hear, and we only have one mouth to speak. Often listening is the best gift you can offer to a struggling loved one. Focus on understanding his or her situation and empathizing with his or her pain before you attempt to say anything. If you feel led to speak, offer a word of comfort and share the truth in love. And here's the way you do speak. When you speak to one who is hurting, talk quietly, please. A quiet, gentle voice is very soothing to the troubled heart. Several years ago, I was visiting a long-time friend at the Tucson Medical Center. We've been working together for many different occasions for the Lord, and he had a cancer, and he went into remission, and he came back with a vengeance. And diagnosis was not very good. As I was talking with him in his hospital, and one of his neighbor walked in. This neighbor happened to be a pastor of one of those charismatic church denominations. The moment he walked in, he was loud and boisterous. You heard a word to his company and three the crowd. Before I left my friend, I asked my friend, do you want me to pray for you? And he answered very quietly, yes, please. So I started to pray. And as I was praying, this pastor was hollering, "Hallelujah." And he was started speaking in tongues. I knew that that was his style. I'm not condemning him. I'm not saying against him. But I thought that my friend didn't appreciate him. After I prayed, I left his room. Later, my wife told me that he told his wife, and who in turn told Karen, that he hated to see me going, leaving, but he was hoping that the other guy was gone. I'm not saying I was better. Guys, when you talk to somebody in that kind of situation, talk quietly, okay? Don't make a scene. They already have a scene. And here are the few things that don't. Since we are in topic of listening more than speaking, here are a few things that we should not do when we comfort those who are in distress. Here are a couple things. Number one, don't try to explain everything, because explanation never heals a broken heart. You with me on that? Explanation never heals a broken heart. Besides, what do we know? What do we know to explain the things, especially the spiritual unseen world? We don't. Number two, don't use cliches. It only deepens the sorrowing person's pain. I'm sure some of you might have used this, or you heard these things. And when you heard it, you're thinking, that is so lame. I wrote down a few things. I'm sure you heard this. I know how you feel. Really? You don't. So don't even try that. Second cliche is that there's a reason for everything. That might be true, but neither one of you would know what the reason is. So why say it? Third cliche, well, no one ever said that life is a fair. What a rotten thing to say. Fourth cliche, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Which idiot came up with that jam? Fifth cliche, well, cheer up, there is always someone who is worse off. Believe it or not, I heard this one too many times. And it has a zero, negative comfort value. It sounds about just as callous as you can get. Here's another cliche. When life gives lemons, make a lemonade. Now that your friend who is hearing that just about to make you a lemon. And here's the oldest but goodies. Don't worry, be happy. Remember that song? Obnoxious song. Are you serious? Now they are thinking about killing you. This is the last one. Don't cry. Now they are going to kill you. They're going through the mourning period, weeping period, because it is coming from their deep down in their heart. What do you mean, don't cry? You are putting them in the highest standard that Jesus did. Remember, Jesus wept because he was missing his friend Lazarus. He stood in front of Lazarus' tomb. He wept. It's in the Bible. I don't have applications for you, but I have five characteristics of a true friend we can have. Maybe you can apply this. Maybe you can try to be a true friend to other people. Number one, a true friend caring enough to respond without being invited to respond. I'm not saying that you should be a busybody. Okay? No one sent a message to Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar saying, please come because Job is dying in anguish. They just came. Guys, gals, listen. the people who are suffering will not send the invitation to you most of the time, in most cases. You are the one who may have to make an initiation. You with me on that? Don't wait for an invitation to show your care, that you care, because deeply hurting person will rarely offer one. Please don't think that you are bothering them. They will never think of that. Number two, a true friend responds with sympathy and comfort. A friend identifies with those who suffer. They comfort others by helping to make their life lighter, sorrow lighter, in practical ways. For example, they do what needs to be done. They run errands for you, for them. And taking their loved one out to dinner or taking care of their children, cooking a meal. Speaking of cooking a meal, we have a meal ministry. Is that what they're called? And if you're sick, somebody will cook for you. If you're sick, I'm talking about sick enough that you cannot cook meal. I said, well, I got a little cold. Somebody bring the meal. No, that doesn't work. If you're sick enough, you cannot cook a meal for family, then we'll make a meal for you. In return, you can do the same thing for the other people. That's what the brothers and sisters in the church for. So why do we do this? Because a true friend have a covenant type relationship, and that cannot be easily broken. And part of a covenant is the commitment to be there. And your presence during the fun time will be remembered. Let me say one more time. Your presence during the fun time will be remembered. But your presence during the difficult time, during the crisis, will be cherished throughout the time. Third characteristic is a true friend openly expresses the depth of his or her feeling. When a true friend perceives the loved one in suffering, it's not uncommon for you to see him or her with the tears in their eyes, or at least the fighting back. You know, acquaintances don't do that. The friends do. They empathize with the other's pain. When their loved one suffers, they suffer. When their loved one celebrates, they celebrate. Remember what we try to memorize? Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Fourth characteristic is a true friend isn't turned off by the distasteful sight. What am I talking about? Can you imagine these Job's three friends? They came to this outside of the city where the garbage is collected, human dung and animal dung is burned day in, day out. And they came, and there is their friend Job sitting on the heap of ash. His head is shaved, his robe is torn. And his skin is blackened because heat is boiled from the top of his head to the bottom of his soul. And they, you know what they did? They didn't say, oh, Job, I'm sorry. We feel bad for you. We got to go check into the Holiday Inn Express. No, they didn't. They tore their robes, they sprinkled dust in the air, and they sat down next to the heap of human dung and sat with him for 7 days and seven nights. There was a one-time incident. One of our dearly loved sisters, I think about her often. Sorry, Jack. His late wife, Louise. She was the member of the beginning of our church. When she told another person that she has a cancer, do you know what the other person did? As soon as she heard, she turned around, walked out the door. That's not what friends do. How would you like to be that person? How would you like to be Louise? You told that person, I have a cancer. and turn around, walk that door. Are you serious? No doubt that Job's friends were stunned beyond belief. Yet they stuck by him. That's a friendship. That's a commitment. Acquaintances walk away from distasteful sight or of sufferers, but true friends sticks by. Someone who is wise said this, many people will walk in and out of your life, but only true friend will leave the footprint in his heart. That's good. Last characteristic of a true friend. A true friend understands and has to say very little. I'm continuously going back saying this. Say little. Compassion, not judgment, heals heart. We offer more comfort to hurting souls when we listen than we try to explain everything. Caring hug, warm squeeze of hand, and visit to hospital room, or heartfelt prayer. These are the friends that offer to throughout this tough time. A true friend is someone who comes to you when the whole world goes out. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our great true friend through your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.